Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Hey, folks, welcome to the latest edition of the Ages of Rock podcast. I am Dennis, one of your hosts. I'm here with Bill and Alan. How are you doing, guys?
I'm doing good.
Take five.
I got some information for everybody. We will be going, we're going to shut the show down for 14 days because of the coronavirus. So
even nobody though we're not located together at all.
Well, I mean, everybody else is canceling shit, so we might as well do the same. So
I can't say to blame you.
Yeah, so anyway. Tonight we have Tyson Leslie on with us. He's going to be on here talking about the Monsters of Rock cruise. The interesting thing about that, we interviewed him actually on a Thursday here a couple weeks ago, and just a few days later on that Tuesday is when the tornado hit Nashville. It was a really bad one. All of our thoughts and prayers go out to the people who lost family and friends. I mean, it was not only in Nashville itself, but the outlying counties. There was quite a few. I think it was over 20, I think, that passed away or perished in that tornado. Luckily, we talked to a lot of our friends. Everybody seemed to come out unscathed, and nobody really got hurt. Some people lost some things, but Nashville being the town that it is, it's very resilient, and it comes back, and they help everybody. They went through a flood here a few years ago. They had another tornado
about
here.
10 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, and they had a tornado back in the 90s, I believe, that went kind of – this one went across the top part of town. This one – the other one went kind of up through almost downtown and then up to the north at that point. So they are they know how to handle disaster, and they all throw in and help each other out. So we just want to, like I said, everybody will get back on their feet now. I know some people mentioned today, actually it was Tyson on Facebook, says, how long is it before they close Broadway down, because of the virus. So who knows,
Bill's muted,
so he had something really important to say.
I said I would not be surprised.
Yeah. Well, they're going to be playing basketball now at the with nobody in the stadium. So it's,
I'm sure that'll be really tomorrow. Good for the players' morale. It'll be like doing a concert. That's more like a sound check.
So anyway, that's what we got going on for today's show. And like I said, there's a lot of cancellations. I did see real quick about that South by Southwest. They're not going to give any money back on those tickets, and people weren't very happy about that. They're going to allow you to, if you bought tickets for it, to use it for the next year or the year after. You have to specify which year you're going to do it, but they're giving no cash refunds on the tickets.
South by Southwest, I don't know what that is.
That's a big music thing in Austin, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
I read somewhere, I believe that they said that was like a $375 million hit to the economy, the local economy.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That's. I can understand why they're not giving the money back for the tickets, but I bet you a class action lawsuit or something will pop up over that.
Well, they said a lot of people say
of emergency, and they'll
normally I would say, no, you don't get your money back, but they cancel these events, So we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
But, I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that people may sue, but I don't think they'll get anything. We canceled our event. We were supposed to be in California at the end of the month, and they canceled our conference. So the stuff. I'm just surprised more music festivals haven't shut that stuff down yet. Because it's going to get
Coachella. They got shut down
the other day.
Was that big one in Tennessee. I haven't heard anything about that. That great big kind of hippie fest. Yeah, Bonnaroo or whatever it is. I haven't heard anything about it yet, but it's interesting.
Even the regular summer tours.
My biggest thing to say right now is this is going to go out on Thursday, so today is Thursday if you're watching this when it first comes out. I'm going to Nashville tonight to see Jeff Tate, and that son of a bitch better not back out.
Did you buy meet and greet?
No.
Yeah, Gene will perform for you. He just don't want to hug you.
Those guys are in their 60s and 70s. I cannot say that I blame them one bit.
I can't either.
But, I would say for those meet and greets, if you're not going to do the meet and greet, give people their money back. Because, if I paid, this is me personally, if I paid $2,500 to do a meet and greet with the band, right, and then they're like, well, we're going to cancel that, but instead, we're going to let you take a picture with one of our guitars.
No. That ain't working.
No.
That ain't working with me.
And for the people either. Who are fine with that, good on them, If you feel like you got your money's worth holding Paul's guitar or Gene's bass or whatever, that's great. I'm not going to dog on you for it. But
give me my money back.
Give me my money back.
That the whole thing is, whatever.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right. Listen, enough about the virus. So did you pick up any vinyl this week, Bilski?
I got stuff in the mail from my sister.
Okay.
So I got, I forgot the book. I have to run and get the book. So I got a couple things. She sent me this. So I am going to see Brian Harris, our buddy Brian Harris, and I were supposed to go see Warrant this Saturday night in Brown County at the Brown County Music Center. And he is going to go take the opportunity to go spread his wife's ashes in the Pacific.
Right, in California.
And we wish him all the best. And so he's going to go do that. So I'm going to go and take my wife with me to the show. So she's going to just have a great time.
Not.
I didn't hear a lick of sarcasm there at all.
Yeah. She'll be fine. She volunteered to go.
Oh, that's good.
She wasn't voluntold. She volunteered.
You said she wasn't volatile. So anyway, what?
She wasn't. Not yet. But ironically, this is kind of funny. We did see Warrant once before, and when we saw them before, we went to see them, but they were opening for Kingdom Come at the Kentucky State Fair. It was a free show. And the joke was, wouldn't it be funny if they roll in like a station wagon or a minivan or something like that, whatever, just kind of joking around, because there were tour buses back there. And so we're watching, and you could see it was the baseball stadium, and you could see people rolling in. So we're watching, and Warrant plays their show. And this is right when Heaven hit. So it was just like the people were, it was bananas, right? And it was them and Kingdom Come. And trust me, one song, we know that one song of Warrant was bigger than Kingdom Come's ever career was ever going to be. Sure. Just the way it is, right?
Right.
So we're watching Warrant jamming out. They're all wearing all white, just looked cool as hell. The music was great. And we look up, and there's a station wagon coming across the outfield. And we watch it park, and we get out. It's the guys from Kingdom Come.
That's funny.
Rolling up in a station wagon. So that being said, I'm taking this to get it autographed.
Sweet.
Cool.
Warrant, Dirty, Rotten, Still, Filthy, Stinking Rich.
Let me jump in here for a second, Bill. For those of you who are longtime listeners and have been with us from the beginning, I'm sorry Bill repeated himself.
I know. I've told the story before. But it's been about probably three years.
It's been 4 years, dude. it's been almost four years.
I mean, since I told that story. All right. So I got that. And the other thing she sent me, which is pretty cool, which is Elton John. So we like Elton John. Captain Fantastic. Inside here is, this is really cool. And I actually saw this. Exact same thing just over the weekend. But inside here is a poster that looks like the album cover. I won't get it out. There's a thing called scraps, which is just different photos and scrapbook notes and stuff. So like liner notes in a book.
Right.
And there's also the lyrics are in a little book called Lyrics.
Oh, that's cool.
And this is pretty cool. So I did see this weekend. And when I saw it this weekend, it was like selling for like $20. So I don't know how much she paid for it, but I'm not sending her any money.
Thanks, sis.
Anyway.
Thanks, sis.
Appreciate it. That's what I got.
Cool. Oh, that's all you got.
I looked for some stuff, but that's all I looked for some stuff. I picked up a few things, a couple things I thought I really wanted. I looked at them and they looked like crap. They were not in very good shape. And I did find an Ultimate Sin Ozzy cool. album. I was going to buy that. It was $25.
Ooh.
And it just it was not in very good shape. So I just
might as well wait on that.
I saw a New England record, though, and I left it.
Cool. How about $5? $4?
Nope. I think it was buy one, get this free.
Oh, all right. Well, I bought one and then I was given one. My buddy Rodney, he had a extra copy he had bought of the Chicago Greatest Hits album. The record is in wonderful shape. The cover itself is not, so that's why I put it in plastic. But I don't really care. It doesn't matter if it plays well. But this has got all the great hits of Chicago on there, so no filler bullshit. And then
is that Peter Cetera, or is Peter Cetera on that too?
I don't know.
What's the songs 72 on there?
To 75.
Yeah, that's pre-Peter.
That was pre-Peter.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought Peter Cetera was there from the beginning.
No, it was in the 80s.
Well, he was, but I don't think he was singing.
He wasn't singing. Was
Oh, I got you.
These are all like Color My World.
That wasn't Peter.
That's all that, the old stuff. But
that
anyway.
Was before Chicago got good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, no, I like this.
I'm kidding.
Anyway, somebody on Facebook posted that Amazon, every once in a while, Amazon runs these really, really crazy, stupid, good deals, especially on Kiss albums. I've got not Destroyer, but Dynasty and Rock and Roll Over like that, but they had Kiss Hotter Than Hell for $11. So I picked that up. And to be honest, I've never bought this record. This is the first time I've ever bought this record.
Really?
Yes. I had somebody give me a cassette years ago, and then I bought it with the originals recently, but I never bought this album when I was a kid. It was one that I just never...
I was 17, I found that at the Salvation Army for 50 cents on 8-track, and my car had an 8-track player in it, so that is probably my all-time favorite Kiss album. But the funny thing about it was I left that 8-track on my dashboard and it got all warped and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Because my car got hotter than hell.
One thing that I was really impressed with, even though it's a cheap record, it has that good liner, that one of those nice liners that has kind of the felty kind of thing with the plastic.
Why do you think it's a cheap record?
I don't know. I don't know why they ran it cheaper. Now it's
it was on sale. It's not
it was on
record.
Sale. No, I'm just saying. Yeah, it's 180 grand. You know, it's one of those 180. This is one of those repressings. Yeah.
They just
ran
on
a good
sale.
Deal. Yeah. But anyway,
they're just looking for some Kiss fan that didn't have that record to spend $12.
But my other one that I bought that was one of the reissues did not have that liner. It had actually the cardboard kind of like the one that was originally in there. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
I thought it was kind of nice. So anyway, that's what I got. Alan, you don't have your records, but you got a review?
I have a concert review.
There we go.
Who'd you go see?
This past Saturday. Yes, it was Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. My friends Jimmy Talent and the Electric Revival were selected to open up for Hairball at the Victory Theater.
Oh, I want to see that.
Now, I had seen Hairball 2 years ago when 8-Ball opened up for them. And
a lot of balls at that show.
Lots of balls at that show. Hey, guess what? Can you hear it?
The ball fest.
Mama's home.
Dogs are
all of the dogs are barking. I knew it was going to happen because I've been sitting here quiet the whole time. And the minute that I start talking, bark, bark, bark.
Let's let you go first next time.
So anyway, it wouldn't have mattered because he would have come home then. But anyway, I think the Victory Theater holds about 1,500 people. Is that right, Dennis?
Yeah, about that, 18.
I was impressed that the place had filled up in time for Jimmy the Talent's band to get started because they had the place was packed. It was a sold-out show. So the place was packed from the beginning of the end, from the beginning of Jimmy's set to the end of the Hairball set. So that was pretty impressive. Right. Especially because their final song, they do one of those call and response things. And it's kind of nice to see a hometown band get 1,500 people to respond when they do the call and
response.
That's cool.
But,
that's cool.
Yeah, their show was really good. The Hairball show, I hadn't planned on staying. I was just going to go see Hairball and go home because I was tired. But after I got there, the energy level kind of kicked up, so I stuck around. They played for 2 hours.
Wow.
I was expecting an hour and a half, and we got 2 hours because, you know, I wanted to be home by 10 or 10:15. I didn't get home till about 10:45. But they did, you know, of course, they have whoever the singer is dressed up as the singer of whichever band they're playing.
Sure.
So they did We're Not Gonna Take It. They did Detroit Rock City and Love Gun. And no, they did not have any backing tracks. Girls, 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 Dr. Feelgood, and the guy sang all the lyrics.
That's weird.
I know, it was weird.
That's more than you get with the regular show.
That's all the words. I couldn't believe it.
I didn't even know there was words to this song.
Right.
Yeah.
But they also did Rock of Ages and Photograph, Talk Dirty to Me, Nothing But a Good Time. They did 3 Van Halen songs. I was surprised. They did High for Teacher, Jump, and I Can't Wait to Feel Your Love Tonight. And the Dave came through right before I Can't Wait to Feel Your Love Tonight. Look at all the people here tonight.
Good.
You know, then they did a drum solo.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Time to go poop.
They did 2 Queen songs, Another One Bites the Dust, Fat Bottom Girl. Oh, 3 songs. Bohemian Rhapsody. I forgot about that. And then the guy that did Paul came out and did Metal Health. And they only did 1 Quiet Riot song. That kind of bummed me out. I'd like to have heard another one.
Yeah.
And then the Aussie guy came out and did Iron Man and Crazy Train. And when he did Iron Man, you know, the musicians in the band are just phenomenal. I mean, they did they did some of that stuff live that Tony Iommi does live.
Right.
I think Tony would have been impressed sitting there watching that.
That's cool.
Then they had a Prince impersonator come out and did Let's Go Crazy and Purple Rain. And then they did 3 AC/DC songs. After they did Purple Rain, they went off stage. And I thought, or no, they went off stage after Crazy Train. So I thought, you know, they're going to come out and they're going to do 2 more songs and then they're going to be done. And then they come out and the Prince dude did... Let's Go Crazy, Purple Rain, and then AC/DC guy did Hell's Bells and Shoot the Thrill and Shook Me All Night Long. And I thought it was going to be over after that. And then an Axl Rose dude come out, and then they did Welcome to the Jungle and Paradise City. But all in all, that was a really, really good show. I think the drummer, the bass player, and the guitar player are always the same people. And I'm pretty sure these were the same guys when I saw them 2 years ago.
Right.
But there were...
Now, how many different people are there in that band then?
I think there are 6 total because there were 3 at the end of the show when it was all over.
They all came back out?
All of them came back out and there were 6 on stage total, you know.
Right.
And one of them I could tell, you know, because he has long black hair. That was the guy that did... He did the Paul Stanley, the Quiet Riot, Kevin Dubrow, and Brian Johnson. That was that guy.
Now, is this the guy, is this the same band? Sorry.
One of the other guys, hold on, let me finish. And then one of the other guys that come out, you know, without the beard, he looked like me because the dude didn't have any hair. And I'm sure that was the guy that wore the D. Schneider wig and the Aussie wig and stuff like that. So, but yeah, all in all, that was a good show. They come back again. I'll go see him again. What was your question, Dennis?
So was this the same band who last year the Paul hair caught fire during the song and he didn't flinch the whole time?
No, that was a Kiss tribute band.
Are you sure? I thought it was the Hairball guys.
Positive.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I have to look that up because I was thinking it was the Hairball guys.
Once. It was a long time ago. I thought I saw Ace on stage. But yeah, when the Paul came out, he was dressed in. He had the Paul Stanley makeup on and platform shoes, the black pants, and he had a Creatures of the Night shirt on. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. It may have been a band. I just don't know. I was thinking it was Hairball, but anyway, I'm just, you know.
Cool.
I may be.
Well, that was long enough ago that the guy's hair has grown back by now if it was him. So
there you go.
So there's that. Right. That's
all right.
All right.
That's all I've all right. got.
So you're going with a crew to see Jeff Tate tonight, huh?
Yes. Brian Harris, and I believe he's taking his son, and they may be taking a third other person, but there are 2 or 3 of them that are going up there, and they're going up separate from me because they're doing the meet and greet, and that's after the show. So Brian was so generous and bought me a ticket for me and a friend of mine. So my friend Bob is going to go down there with me tomorrow. or tonight.
Cool. That's in Nashville, right?
It's in Nashville. It was supposed to be at the Cowan, but because of the tornado damage, and I don't know where the Cowan is in relation to where the tornado hit, but they've moved it to the exit in.
Okay.
So.
Oh, really?
And that's the best I can tell you, because I'm just going to punch in exit in the Google.
Oh, yeah, the Cowan, is that the one that was at, is that the bar that's at the golf place?
I don't know.
I think it is. Anyway, because that big golf place got destroyed. That big, was it Top Golf or whatever it is, as you go in, the big thing, it got tore the hell up.
Couldn't tell you.
I think
you.
That's, there's a big bar. Anyway. All right. So let's, why don't we talk to another guy in Nashville right now. All righty. We're sitting here with Tyson Leslie again. Because he's been on here once before. And the reason we had him on, we're having him on this time, is he was on the Monsters of Rock cruise. And we, all three of us, were not there, unfortunately. I am looking into it now, though. I've been looking online to see what next year's looks like. And it looks like a good cruise. And from the pictures that I saw, it looked like a good cruise. So I figured, you know, who best to get on here? But we're going to get Tyson. And we got Tyson and Mini Tyson.
Yep.
If you're watching video, so anyway, so how you doing, brother? You doing all right?
Good. Doing great. You better get your tickets for the next year though, fast, because that's going to sell out. So you know, with Alice Cooper being on there, I think they've already sold out the VIP silvers and stuff, and it's going to go pretty quick. So just letting you know that.
Yeah, I had talked to. I had talked to who was it, Sonny Pooney, who was on the cruise this last time, and he was talking about as soon as it uploads and it gets going, it's going to go quick, because of course with Alice going to be on there and everything. So
yeah.
You were on this cruise with Vixen, of course.
I was. Traveled
with Vixen, and of course you did some other things on her too. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
I mean, I've done the Monsters Cruise 3 times now, I guess, with Vixen. And last year we tried out a rare hair show on the boat, and it went really well. And we only had a handful of guests, but we had like Steve and Jimmy from Kix, and a couple of guys from Faster Pussycat jumped in. And this year, just had a lot more options of guests, and so we had a ton of guests, and we were supposed to play for an hour and a half, and it went for almost 4 hours, and it was a huge jam, and it was really fun, and then also got to jump in and play with played a couple songs with Faster Pussycat on their sets, and then I jumped on the Enough's Enough set and played Fly High Michelle with them. And you know, it's one of the things I kept saying, well, everybody kept saying, well, man, you're playing with everybody. Well, it's the advantage of playing an instrument that nobody else wants to play, because you know, I play keyboards and nobody wants to be a keyboard player, but what that ends up being for me is more work most of the time, and I get to sit it. It's also an auxiliary instrument, so you know, people can say, hey, can you want to sit in with it? Yeah, sure, of course. You know, for me, you know, people look at it, some of those guys on the boat look at it like work. It's not work for me. I'm having a blast. I'm playing with my, you know, MTV heroes and stuff. Why is that work? That's not work. It's fun. So yeah, well, those are the things that I did mostly on the boat this time around.
So how many bands were on there? Do you know? Total?
About 50-ish. It's usually about 50. And music starts around 11 o'clock and goes until 2 in the morning every night.
Wow. And I guess there's multiple venues. You have like a bigger arenas, and you got the bars. I guess there's setups.
Right.
And
so they've got like the big pool deck stage. Then they've got a big theater. And then they've got a smaller theater that's really nice. And then they've got like a small venue that's kind of equivalent to like a club, I guess, or something like that. And then, like they do other things too, where, they have like acoustic acts and things like of that nature in different spots on the boat. And then there's all kinds of activities and things to do as well. And then I also did prior to that, the Shiprocked Cruise, which is a whole different lineup and different type of music. And they even have music in the casino, and they have like karaoke with live bands and all kinds of stuff there. So it's just, you know, it's a, they're all pretty awesome. And I've done a lot of these now, which has been really fortunate. It's really fun because it's very interactive with the fans and as well as the musicians. So, you know, you can just walk through the cafeteria or whatever and say hi to your favorite band member from whatever band, because they're sitting in there hanging out with their friends or whatever, or in the casino or anywhere on board the ship. And it's cool because all these band members go and support each other and they're all watching each other. I was watching Faster Pussycat because I was sitting in with them, and there's members of Striper and King's X and everybody else just standing off to the side watching the show, and that's pretty cool. So, and kind of surreal sometimes too.
Which ship were you on?
We were on, for Monsters, it was Independence of the Seas, which is a Royal Caribbean ship, and it's gigantic, and there's like this huge mall like right in the middle in the atrium of the ship. It's where you can shop and do stuff, and there's coffee shops and Starbucks and all kinds of stuff. It's pretty crazy.
I've been on three of those Royal Caribbean ships. They're something else.
Yeah, they're pretty neat. And then, you know, and some of the other ships I've been on with, like, the Kiss Cruise, you guys have done those, right? Have you done any of the Kiss
Cruise? Alan has.
Yeah, and those were all, I can't even remember
that's
now.
That's on the Norwegian Pearl.
Norwegian, yeah. And those boats are really, I got so used to being on those with Big Rock Show. You know, we did Kiss's Cruise and Kid Rock's Cruise a few times, so I just knew that boat inside out. Every time I get on that boat, it's like, oh, yeah, I know everything about it. I know where the food is. I know where the everything, you know. It's pretty funny. Yeah, they're a lot of fun. I love doing them. Honestly, though, even when you're surrounded by your heroes and your friends and such a good time, by the end of it, I'm ready to be off the damn boat and home and on land and, you know, back home playing with babies.
Exactly.
That's how I felt when the Chris Cruise was over. I was ready for it to be over.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blast, but that last day, you're just kind of like, okay, I've seen every band, like, you know, my sensory overload, just so much music. And to do it 2 weeks in a row was a lot. This one was kind of, this time was a little different. I'd never done it 2 weeks in a row like that, and I was really ready to be home after all that.
Were you just exhausted?
Yeah. But in a good way. I mean, it's...
Yeah. But there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, you don't get a lot of downtime, and if you do, it's, imagine it's pretty just crash and burn and then get back at it, right?
Yeah, like in this case, you know, for the Monsters Cruise, I played two shows with Vixen, two shows with Faster Pussycat, one show with Enough's Enough, and then did the Rare Hair show, which was extraordinary. And that in itself, just the Rare Hair show, was a lot to prep for. And what happens is, you know, we had, I don't know how many different members of guys. We had guys from Faster Pussycat and Doro's band, Black and Blue. I'm looking at the list. Vixen, Enough's Enough. And I wanted to say Vincent, but Slaughter's band, because it's the same band.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And then there was some surprises, like the Bullet Boys came and crashed the thing, and they ended up playing a couple songs. And then Frank Hannon shows up and goes, hey, I want to jam. And he brings Brian Tichy and Michael Devin from Whitesnake up there, and they do this like 20-minute Led Zeppelin thing, which was fun to watch. But at the same time, you know, I kind of felt bad for all these guys that are kind of waiting to play. And I'm like, well, there's 20 more minutes you got to wait before you get to play your song. But, you know, when we sign up for that stuff, we kind of know going into it, that's kind of how it's going to be. And it's, you know, it's cool to be around and support everybody else too. And you know, I do those shows in Nashville too. So,
yeah, the only thing I've been to like that was we went to the Rock and Roll Residency. That was the last Tuesday night show.
And that was the first time that we saw Tyler playing that night too. You were playing the guitar.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I mean, I thought it was going to end up being a hour show or 2 hour show, or whatever, it was 3.5. It's like,
right.
Yeah. People just kept coming. I'm like, my God, and everybody could play with everybody. And there was no,
egos, you know,
it's
nothing.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. And we've kind of, we found this too, you know, as we interview, you know, artists and stuff like that, you know, you always think these guys are some kind of, you know, the egomaniacs or whatever. And they're just dudes. And they're just like, you get up there and it's like, do you want to play the lead? And sure. And it's, you know, they just, it doesn't matter. It's like, whatever, let's just have some fun and get after it. And, it's just, it's awesome.
Yeah. So that's totally how it is. And I think I've found, especially here, there's so many extraordinary players. It's like, you don't really, like, if you start to get an ego about you, you'll get that check pretty quick from other people. And that word gets around really fast. So those kind of people usually get weeded out pretty quickly, and they don't end up participating because there's just no room for it. And because you got guys up here playing, I mean, you know, when I put my Rare Hair shows together, the very first show I did, it was like we had Taylor Swift's rhythm section, her drummer and bass player, who eventually ended up turning out to be my rhythm section when I did solo shows, which was amazing. But, you know, you got guys like that, that the people that are the most successful, have the best gigs, I found are usually the most humble, nicest people. Because I guess it's just because they don't have anything to prove, really. I don't really know, but, you know, and then you've got your guys that we've come across. I mean, I'm sure you maybe in this your business have too, where you got these guys that have done had some success, but for one reason or another, they're just jaded and bitter and grumpy and difficult to work with and whatever. And there's a handful of those guys on the boat too, but you just avoid them. You just don't even deal with them. And everybody knows who those people are, and you just and they know just like. Don't, you know, deal with them in small doses if you have to, or just don't even mess with them at all.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one thing I was talking about earlier before we got on online here, you know, with you, you know, I was surprised to even get you to be able to be on tonight. Cause you know, I watch you on Facebook and I mean, you're a player. I mean, you're a musician, and when you're not taking care of your kids, whatever, I mean, you are playing every night. Multiple gigs. Whether you did one, I remember you talking about here recently. You did like a three gigs in a row one night or some kind of stuff like that. You were talking about that. Yeah. I mean, you're a player. You play your ass off. So that has something to say about your, you know, about how people think about you. You wouldn't be asked to be playing, you know, all these places and doing all these gigs, you know.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. But and the little girl seems to like you too.
Yeah.
Well, they're sticking her tongue out every now and then, which is kind of cool.
Right. One thing about Nashville is there's, you know, depending on, I always tell people, like, they're asked to move here and ask me about that kind of thing, is there's work for you, and you can work as little or as much as you want when you get here. It all depends on you and your work ethic and your personality and all those kinds of things. Like, you know, I could work more if I wanted to. I just choose not to. And I'm actually getting ready to cut down and work a little bit less. So I need to focus a little more time at home on family and stuff. At least, and I'm right now, I've been working about 6 nights a week. So I'm just going to cut it down to 5. So at least I have like normal weekend. So my weekend will be Mondays and Tuesdays instead of Saturdays and Sunday, you know.
Sure.
And that way I can focus on taking care of kids and also just being more present in family and whatever. Because working as much as I do is fun, and it's monetarily good, but sometimes it does take a toll a little bit on the personal stuff. So you have to be careful about that and know how to balance everything in order to make it work for everybody.
I know the last time we were in – I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
Bill. No, I'm just saying the last time we were in Nashville – you know, my wife and I, we were walking around, and I'm like going, and it's just like every time I go down there, we only live 2 hours away, but it's like every time I go down there, it's just like the construction just keeps building, and they just keep,
right.
And more of any, it's like going, there's just so much stuff to go on down there. It's just, that town has changed. I was down there in, it would have been, early 90s, I guess. And that's when it kind of had a little bit of a downturn. There was probably Icewind Planet Hollywood and the NASCAR Cafe. They had built all that stuff up, and then all of a sudden everything disappeared, and it was like down. It was a ghost town for a bit, and it's just it's absolutely just reinvigorated itself to now. It's just unbelievable. It's almost to the point it's scary anymore down there.
Yeah, I've only been here since 2015, but I've even in those 5 years, I've seen a lot of things grow and change. And I can't imagine the people that have been here since either their whole lives or since the 90s even. Like, that's a lot of things. You know, the 90s was kicking out some... 90s changed Nashville and everything because country music became huge. Like, I mean, it was already... Country music in the 80s was kind of for... It was, I don't know, it was kind of more directed toward rural America and all that kind of stuff. But, man...
Sure.
Once Garth Brooks and those kind of guys kind of kicked the doors down and made it way more mainstream, it gave Nashville a big fat kick in the pants, and all the musicians have, you know, work. Guys like Dan Huff and all those guys are just churning out all kinds of records and records that were selling really well and making superstars out of guys like Tracy Lawrence, which actually was my first gig when I moved here, and some of those kind of guys. Which is funny because when I did that gig, I didn't know any of his music at all. Like, the 90s, I was listening to Rage Against the Machine and Alice in Chains and stuff like that. I wasn't listening to country music, really. So I had to learn a lot of it when I moved out here, and I'm still learning a lot of it because I want to be able to jump on a country gig if I get called for it or whatever. So
it's interesting you say that because when, you know, being a, you know, you call it hair metal or whatever, huge hair metal fan in the 80s. And when that ended and grunge came in and that alternative stuff came in, I switched to country. So all those people in the 90s. Yeah. I mean, we would go to Nashville all the time and we would see, you know, all those guys, you know, all those guys you're talking about, Little Texas and those bands and, you know, all of that stuff. And I've still got all that stuff, but it's just interesting how much it switched. And now it's like, you know, at least from a country music perspective, it's flipped and it's
now it's
trying to be a rock. It's all trying to be a rock show. And it's like, okay, just go back to doing what you guys do best and leave everybody else alone. So, but do you get any session work from any of the country guys at all or any other rock bands that are down there? Cause I know that's a pretty big mecca down there of bands too.
Yeah,
so
I mean, rock bands not too. Really. I do it every once in a while. Like there's a couple artists here in town that I've done sessions for, keyboard work for, but nothing that's really to write home about. And one of them, actually, I could write home about, but I'm not supposed to talk about it. So it's one of those things where it's like they're kind of keeping it hush because they haven't put it out yet. He's in another really popular band, and they don't want those streams to cross for whatever reason, because one of them's a rock band, and the other one is it's kind of country, but not really. And myself and Christopher Williams from Accept and Philip Schaus, who you guys know, and our friend Luis Espiat, we're all on that, on these sessions with this guy. And it's really cool stuff. We actually did a country-ish version of I Want It All by Queen, which was cool, and which I never imagined that would be cool at all, but it actually was really cool.
And, that's cool.
But yeah, like the big records are all, there's a network of guys, and it's really just those guys, you know, those guys, which is kind of why if you listen to a lot of country radio, a lot of things sound the same, because it's legitimately the same guys every single time playing on those records. And I've been really fortunate to get to know some of those people and kind of pick their brains about how it works, but I did come to an understanding that that's not a field that I think I'm going to ever get in. Maybe when I get older and I'm tired of being on the road, maybe that's a possibility. But right now, everybody knows me as a live player, and that's fine because that gets me working and it keeps me employed.
So basically you're saying – basically, there's a gang in Nashville that's almost like the Wrecking Crew. It's basically the same bunch that plays on everybody's recordings. And
And if they can't do it, they refer it to the B team or whatever. I mean, there's and then there's even like a younger group of guys. There's a guy named Chris Condon who plays for Billy Ray Cyrus, and he's he's done some guitar work for me, and he's got his own studio. He's got a network of guys that they use, and they play on lesser known artist stuff, if that makes sense. So they're not playing Keith Urban records, but they're playing these guys that are, you know, these artists that are kind of up and coming and whatever. And they're all still sound with technology the way it is. They, you can make a great sounding record at your house, you know, and you really can't tell the difference if you know what you're doing, whether it was done at your house or whether it was done in some at Blackbird Studios. I mean, if you know what you're doing, you can really churn it out and make it sound just as good, which is kind of cool. But it's also kind of hurting the industry a little bit with the big studios and stuff like that. They're not getting as much work as they used to because of that. So I don't know. It's a weird time for all that.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I want to jump in here real quick. You said one of the bands that you used to listen to was Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
You've seen where they're getting ready to do another tour?
Right.
Have you seen those ticket prices?
Yeah, I kind of did. I mean, I had friends getting them in Kansas City because they're not coming here. So I didn't really look for anything else. I didn't really understand. Tom Morello had released something about there's, you know, the top ticket price is going to be like $125 or $150 or something like that. And then there will be other prices where money's going to charity and stuff. But I didn't really read too deeply into that to see what he meant by all that. But I don't know. Like, I'd love to see them because I've never seen them. But at the same time, it's going to be one of those deals where I'll pay the face value. I'll pay $100 to see them or whatever because I think it'd be cool to see them, but it is an interesting thing, that whole, like, raging against the machine, yet we're kind of part of the machine, too. So, I think, you know, that there's nothing you can, it's just one of those things, we are in the music business, and those guys know it, too, and everybody knows it. I mean, and well, there's definitely, if you want to be on the kind of platforms that they're on, you could do certain things by your, you know, your own, I don't know what I'm trying to say exactly. Like, you know, you can kind of down the man in your own way. But at the end of the day, if you want to be playing arenas and you want to be doing those kind of things, there's just things that unfortunately, whether you like it or not, you kind of have to get on board with, or else they're not going to give you those opportunities. So,
well, unfortunately, you got people like Live Nation. I don't even think Ticketmaster is even a valid thing anymore. I mean, they're a ticket produce, you know, a ticket outlet, but Live Nation is your producer. You know, they're the ones that actually go out, get these tours going, everything. And like you said, unless you want to be your own promoter, go out, you know, rent the venues, do this, work with the unions, do all this. If you're not going to do that yourself, you have to do what Live Nation tells
you. Well, I was getting ready to say, if you're not working with Live Nation, you're not getting into those venues because they are Live Nation venues.
Right.
Exactly.
I just bought Billie Eilish tickets for my kid, for me and my kid to go see him or go see her in March. And I bought tickets for Nashville and for St. Louis. And the ones I got in Nashville were close. And they were like 100 and, I don't know, about 120, something like that. But the ones I got in St. Louis were like nosebleeds for like $60. And I bought them face value right through Ticketmaster. I didn't do anything, you know, no scalping sites or anything like that. So I don't really know. I've never been at that position in a band or in a band that's big enough to be able to, I don't know how that works. Like, I don't know who has the final say as to this is what your ticket price is going to be. You know, tough shit. That's, you can't fix that, or whether they're secretly, you know, that, like that whole thing with Metallica was really weird last year or 2 years ago. I don't know if you heard about that, where they basically kind of got caught scalping their own tickets, essentially, something like that. And they were hit, you know, You've got to think that the artist knows about that, because, you know, everybody wants to put that off as like, well, that was probably a shady management deal. Well, it might have been, but usually you're still, the artist is still negotiating things with the management, you know, to figure out I don't know. Having not ever been at that big of a band, I have no say in that because I can't. Too many people on the internet want to just talk blah 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 and say this and that when they don't really know what goes on behind those doors, and I don't either. So I'm not going to pretend.
So we can rage against the machine, just don't rage against Live Nation.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because that happened with, I mean, Dennis and I got tickets to see the Foo Fighters 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And you got a pass or something, right? Before the tickets went on sale.
They said the hell with the bots. We're going to sell them like they did in the old days. You had to stand in line to get these tickets. And we were, because my Nashville tickets, I actually got from a friend of mine stood in line and got those tickets. Now, the one you're talking about, though, Indy, how did we do?
The ones we got in Lexington, you had to put your email in.
That was a pre-sale.
It was a pre-sale thing.
And the pre-sale tickets were worse than the ones you could have got.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the seats were bad?
Oh, yeah. They were up. Well, they canceled the show.
Yeah.
Because the day of the show, they canceled because Dave Grohl had somebody sick in the family or whatever.
I remember that.
But our seats were on like up in the upper deck on some bench, and we got pre-sale tickets.
Yeah. Oh. And ones he could have got them actually cheaper and better seats for the regular sale the next day, but I just got the pre-sale. So I don't know how they do that even. I don't even do the pre-sale bullshit. Yeah, it's like, you know what? I'm going to do it.
Billie Eilish show, I did the pre-sale, and those were great, but
right.
I guess it's probably different for every artist. And
it is. It's different for venues and different for artists and whatever. They give an X amount of tickets up for certain, you know, for certain pre-sales. And there's more than one pre-sale, too. You know, you got some that go from the actual ticket people. There's some that go through the credit card that you're going to do. Say, like, American Express has a pre-sale, you know. So I don't know who's got what, you know. So anyway, that's what it is. It is what it is, and we're just
The other thing about the Live Nation thing, I think we learned this. We interviewed Jeff Pilson last week for episode coming up, and Jeff was talking about, because I asked him about, you know, the everybody's brothers on a package tour this summer, right? I mean, you can go see four bands together anywhere about any day, right? And I asked him because, you know, Foreigner's doing Foreigner Kansas and Europe. And I said, you know, I asked him, I said, do you guys, when you put together a package, you know, do you look at the other bands and who all's out going out together and how does it all work and that kind of stuff? And he, you know, he commented, he goes, you know, sometimes it's really Live Nation is really kind of driving some of that stuff. I mean, they're kind of driving who's even to the degree, I think, and I think you made this comment too about, you know, who's going to be on what bill. I mean, they're trying to put the package out that's going to put butts in the seats. It's going to make them money.
That's all about it. They want to sell tickets.
So. And I didn't really, I really kind of thought it was more of, I didn't think about it from that perspective. I really thought it was, you know, the guys in Foreigner go, okay, we're going to go a headlining show.
Hey, maybe that's how would you want to go do this?
That's right? Probably how it used to work. Probably back in the 80s, that's probably how it worked, right?
Yeah.
There, to some degree, it was, you know, who are we going to get on the tour with us? And then we're going to take this package out versus now it might be reverse, right? It's the promoter going, here's who we want on the package and who's we're going to put, you know, who's who we think we can sell tickets for. You want to get on or not?
You'll get these headliner acts that don't even know who the bands are going to be on their bill. Like, so for example, I did a run with Whitesnake in a band I was playing with called Redline Chemistry. I don't know when that was, 2014, maybe 13 or 14. And I mean, it was one of those things where it was a buy-on deal. And so, you know, you get these arena tours like Slipknot will go out and then there'll be this, you know, two bands or three bands that you've heard of. And then one band you're like, who the hell you've never heard of before that bought onto it, you know, or the management or somebody did. And they're playing when the doors are barely opening to like people is just kind of straggling in or whatever. It's kind of like, that band that's jumping on that the Poison Motley Crue thing, you know, like those dudes from Atlanta. Our buddy Ricky Dover is playing in that band. I was like, well, congrats, man. You're still playing in the stadium. That's something more than most of my friends have done. But he'll still be, they'll be playing while people are kind of walking in the door. And You know, maybe they'll get something out of it. Maybe they won't. They just, but that's that whole, all that kind of stuff now has to do with management companies shaking hands with somebody who owed them a favor and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's all, the artists don't care and have, I think, very little to do with some of those kinds of decisions. You know, like, I think the that package, Whitesnake, it was between Whitesnake and Joan Jett. Joan Jett, for whatever reason, passed on it first, and then for whatever other reason, ended up back on it. So that's just what I heard, and I don't know how much truth there is to any of that or not. But, I mean, my point is, it's just like, that's all backdoor handshaking and deal-making kind of stuff. And at the end of the day, okay, here's the poster. Here's who's going to be on it. You know, okay, cool.
Yep. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. All righty. Well, anyway, let me think here for a second. So anyway, Tyson, we sure appreciate you being on.
Yeah.
What on the cruise this time? What was your highlight moment? Who did you enjoy playing with the most? I know you said you had so many people that came out to play with Rare Hair, and you played with other people. What was your big moment?
I don't know. The Rare Hair show was extraordinary. Like, I got to play House of Lords version of Can't Find My Way Home with Jimmy Bell from House of Lords because he's in Autograph now, and that was really cool. And then we did, let me see. I got to think about it. I'm looking at the spreadsheet of all the stuff that we did because there's so much I can't even remember. I did Highway Star, Deep Purple with Jimmy, also on guitar, because when he's not doing House of Lords and Autograph, he's in a Deep Purple tribute band. And Roxy from Vixen jumped on there and did that with us, and that was awesome. And then we did, like, the one thing that was really interesting and really fun, and I posted videos from all these shows the other day, is there was a band called Life, Sex, and Death, like in the mid-90s, probably around 94, 95 or whatever. And they really quirky, weird, unique band. And this guy named Alex Kane was kind of the mastermind of that band. Yes. And he was on there playing guitar with Enough's Enough. So I was like, ooh, we can do a Life, Sex, and Death song in the show. And so I hit him up. And what happened was I left it up to him to put the lineup together for that song because, you know, it's his baby. So I was just like, you just pick whoever you want. So we had Tori from Enough's Enough and Jeremy Asprock from Ace Frehley's band. And Jeremy was playing bass, Tori was playing guitar, but we didn't have a drummer and we didn't have a singer. And Alex played guitar, of course, because that's what he did in the band. And so ultimately what ended up happening is very last minute, the two guys that were supposed to play didn't show up. And we found this father and son that were huge fans of LSD back in the day. The son was a drummer and the dad was going to sing it. We're like, okay, sure, do it. And they did an amazing job. They were just like, holy crap, that was perfect. That was like, it was probably better than if we had had some rock star do it. Like because these guys were fans. They put everything into it and they just delivered it in every possible way, which, like, that was incredible. So that was pretty neat. That was kind of a highlight to see that happen. But just to have the Rare Hair show grow and be so successful for me from something I started 5 years ago has really been cool. And have Larry, the guy who puts on the cruises, and all the people from Monsters of Rock embrace it and say, okay, this, we've outgrown this small little lounge that we did it in. We're going to give you guys a bigger stage next year. That was great for me. Cool. And you know, now all the rock star people want to do it because they know it's organized. It's not just a sloppy mess, and it's successful and fun, and people really enjoy it. And all these musicians they get to play something that they don't play every single, you know, that same 12 songs that they play every night. And it's something I forget about sometimes, like when I did the Shiprock Boat, and we did the Stowaway Show. They're picking stuff like Purple Rain and shit that I play, like, to death all the time in my life playing in cover bands. And so I'm just like, okay, fine. But I forget that these people don't play these songs night after night like I do. So it's exciting for them. And so when you get in, you get up on stage with guys from Fuel and all these dudes and you're playing American Girl, it's not the same as playing it down on Broadway in the same shitty bar. You know what I mean? They're excited and they're giving it their all. And it's like, okay, this is really fun.
You're getting a lot of different dynamics from all these different musicians that are coming in too. That's what's really cool.
Yeah, in a big way. And musicians from all different walks of life. So I bring this, so when I'm on the boat, I bring a core band of friends of mine who are musicians. It's my buddy Curtis from Kansas City. And then I brought this other guy, Curtis, from Atlanta, who has this rock and roll, like this live karaoke band.
I know Curtis.
20 years, yeah. So from Mettlesome. So I brought that Curtis on to play bass. And basically, and then, you know, you guys heard the band Denman. Are you familiar with them? Mm-hmm. So I brought those two brothers on. And then I needed this kid, or I needed a singer that could sing all the crazy, like Tom Kiefer, Britney Fox, like the real high, raspy stuff. And I also needed a drummer that could kind of take on the songs that nobody else wanted to do. Well, I was walking this bar on Broadway, and there's this kid in there singing the shit out of Motley Crue, and I was like, and he was playing drums while playing. I was like, who's that guy? And so I got his name and his info. And when I was trying to figure out what to do, I was like, well, I'm just going to take that kid. So I brought him with me, and he sang Hall of the Mountain King by Sabotage. And he did both Britney Fox songs, Girl School and Long Way to Love, with Johnny D from Doro, who was the original Britney Fox drummer. He was drumming behind it, which was pretty cool. And then we had, and then we did "Shelter Me" by Cinderella. And we were gonna have a horn section, but the horn section from White Trash was gonna sit in with us. But the trombonist had like a bad like tooth injury that night, so he couldn't play. So we just did it without him. But anyway, I got this kid Richie to come in and play drums and sing all the high stuff that nobody else wanted to do, and he did a great job. And so you bring that core band to kind of fill in the stuff nobody else wants to do. And then you just kind of reach out to as many rock stars as I knew. And it was like, hey, you want to play this? Okay, cool. And then, like, the main drummers were Richie, and then Chad Stewart from Fast Pussycat played a bunch, and Jimmy from Kix played a bunch. But then, like, Roxy from Vixen played a couple songs, and Troy Lucetta from Tesla played on one, and Dan, well, actually that didn't happen. So it just becomes this thing, and each song has a different lineup. It's the same thing as what I do in Nashville. It's just a lot more rock stars, I guess. So so you know, we have another Rare Hair show in Nashville coming up on March 16th, which is 2 days after the residency as a show. And and so, yeah, I mean, it's become a thing, and it's really, really fun to get a bunch of friends together, play songgs that we loved growing up. The theme of this one is, well, they used to be hits. So so basically the idea was picking songs that were hits back in the day, but nobody really plays them now. So stuff like Too Young to Fall in Love by Motley Crue. Like, everybody plays Home Sweet Home. Everybody plays Kickstart My Heart, but nobody plays that one. You know, like, that song's cool. It's still a big hit. Or Ride the Wind by Poison. But we're kind of digging a little bit deeper, I guess. These songs are deep to me because this is where I grew up on. But, like, Tell Me What You Want by Zebra. Like, a lot of people are like, I haven't heard that song. Like,
oh, really? I love that song.
I know.
I love that song.
But we're going to, like, Blow My Fuse by Kix, and we're going to have Brian come up and play it with us. And
all right.
But, you know, even songs like Coming of Age by Damn Yankees, which was, I thought it was huge back in the day, but people just don't know it now. Nobody plays it. We're just kind of playing that stuff, and that's going to be fun.
So the videos that you've been putting, I noticed you've been putting them up on your page. Are they all also on a YouTube channel?
I haven't gotten them up to YouTube yet, but yes.
They will be going up.
If you go to youtube.com/rarehairnashville, and that's R-A-R-E-H-A-R-E Nashville, you can find performances all the way back from the very first Rare Hair show that we ever did to now. And yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's pretty fun to go back and watch some of that stuff and go, oh yeah, I forgot we did that song.
Yeah, I've watched the ones from the cruise. I watched the one you did with the Twisted Sister. You were singing that one. That was Burn in Hell. Then I saw the other one where you guys were doing Electric Eye, Hellion Electric Eye. That was that was with the Demons. And what was the other one that I saw? There was another one I saw. But anyway, they're really good videos, and you guys are rocking butt. And do check out if anybody's wanting to go to YouTube and check out that that link. And as far as catching you guys, you got any Vixen stuff coming up soon?
We have a couple things in March. Okay. We're playing in Albuquerque, but I don't remember where. And that's like the second week of March, second weekend of March. And then we're playing some baseball opening thing at the end of March on the 30th. We're actually playing like in the morning, like way early. And then we're actually out of there by 2:00. It's going to be really weird. Okay. And I was just figuring out the flights today, and I was like, wait, is that right? And he's like, yeah, we're doing the gig and then we're flying home after that. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So
like a vixen.com, I guess, is where you can go to that, or
it's vixenofficial.com. If you go to vixen.com, you're going to end up on a porn site. I'm pretty
sure that's the case. You don't want to do that.
Here, just to be careful, Tyson. So don't be sitting in front of your computer when she gets a little older and she wants to look at Barbie. It's not Barbie.com. It's Mattel.com.
It's Mattel.
Trust me from a guy who knows.
That's hilarious.
Funny. About to die.
All right. So hopefully we will. Are you going to be at the Rockin' Pod this year if you're in town?
We're actually working on a couple things for that, and awesome. I'm doing a Rare Hair show there for that, as well as one of the guests. I just got off the phone with him before I got on here, and we're working on doing maybe a pre-party show on Thursday with him. I can't talk about who he is yet because he hasn't announced it yet, but if you get on Chris Senzak's page today, he dropped a pretty good hint about a couple hours ago, so of who that might be. But I played with him on Shiprock boat and got to know him really well, and we become friends, and that was a really fun connection.
If you guys need a cowbell player, Bill's available.
We will be down there. We're coming down. I know Bill and I guess we're all three going to be there Friday, Saturday. I know Alan will be there probably Sunday
as well.
We'll be there the whole weekend. So
there is a possibility that I end up with a Vixen gig that weekend, and then I can't be here. Right. So, but if I can't, my show is still going to happen. Like I'll have it curated to where basically I don't have to be there in order for it to hold off. But hope I'd like to be, because obviously A, it's my show, but B, I don't know. It's one of those things, if you want it done right, you do it yourself kind of thing.
We caught you last year. You were trying to eat a meal as we were walking through. You were sitting there eating real quick, and then we said hey and said hi, and that was it. But I know, like I said, you're a busy man. You were either playing or that doing
we were
something.
We trying to figure out all the stuff with Dave Ellison, you know.
That's right.
That was crazy because, I mean, man, we were doing Vixen show like days before that. And they were doing rehearsals with Dave, and I wasn't able to be there. And I was, like, freaking out about it, and they were all talking. And so they were all going back to me back and forth, and Dave was. But it turned out to be really good. You know, it was a really fun show. I don't know if you were there for that part of it when we did the Ellison Jam, but it was pretty cool. We're going to do something similar to that this year.
Cool. All right. Well, anyway, Tyson, we sure appreciate it. Look at that cute face. And I'm not talking about you, Tyson. I'm talking about
That's the cutest face I think we've ever had. That's the cutest face we've ever had on this show.
Well, if you want to see the cutest face, and it's not Bill's, and it's not mine, and it's not Alan's, and it's not Tyson's, check us out on our YouTube. Otherwise, you'll hear some sounds every once in a while. But
yeah,
tell you what, If I tried to hold my son when he was that age on my lap for that long, he'd have tore everything up.
Good baby.
Yeah, very much. All right. Well, Tyson, thank you so much. Hang around for just a second. Alan's going to take us out of here, and then we'll talk to you here for a second afterwards.
All right, okay. Folks, check us out on agesofrock.com and hit our social media links and all of that good stuff. Till next week, peace out. Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.